You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Well, this morning I'm starting to share on a series that I'm probably going to do for the next week or two on the secrets to answered prayer. Many people get frustrated. They cry out, and maybe not always with their mouths, but from their hearts, God, are you aware of my situation? Do you know what I'm going through? And I want to tell you that heaven is aware of your every situation. A matter of fact, not only is heaven aware of your situation, but Jesus himself is busy praying for you. And prayer is the master key. Prayer is the master key. That's why prayer is so very important. But because people have lost hope and they think that Jesus does not hear their prayers, that God the Father is not giving attention to what they are saying, they've stopped praying. But I want to assure you this morning that Jesus is busy praying for you. A matter of fact, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus spoke to Peter and he said to Peter, I've been praying for you that your faith would not fail. I mean, that's just something to think about already. Jesus didn't say, I'm praying for you that the difficult situation that you're in will go away. He says, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail, that you'll be able to stand strong to get through the situation and circumstances. I want to ask you this morning, if you heard Jesus praying for you on that side of the wall, how would your attitude change? How would your prayers change? How would your confession change if you heard Jesus praying for you right now? Because the truth is, Jesus is praying for you. Turn to the person next to you, say whether you like it or not, Jesus is praying for you. Something to meditate upon. So I want to take some time this morning to touch on prayer, to touch on faith, to touch on believing, because we've been taught a lot of things on prayer, on faith. But sometimes faith is this mystical thing that hangs up in the air. People often say, I have faith, I have strong faith. I want to tell you something. If you have strong faith and your faith is in your faith, you're bound to be disappointed. Because your faith cannot be in your faith. Your faith should be in Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because our faith levels change every day. Nobody's faith is up there the whole time. Your faith does this. One morning you wake up and your faith feels strong. The next morning you wake up and your faith feels down there. But you need to put your faith in something that's constant so that your faith can be the same. So can we take some time just to, I'm at the best of my ability with the grace that God has given me. I want to unpack prayer and faith to you so that your prayer life will go to a new level and you can reset your faith this morning. Turn to the person next to you, say, buckle up. We're about to move at the speed of faith and anything can happen. Amen. Are you ready? Let's go to Mark chapter 11, a very well-known passage, one of the very few passages in the Bible where Jesus himself teaches on faith and he tells us what faith is. Amen? Are you there? Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I'm not going to go too much into that, but there's speaking and asking. Amen? There's speaking and asking when it comes to prayer. I want you to go to your Bible, if you have a pencil, and just go circle the word have. This is the key. Have faith in God. And if you go to the bottom part of this, that verse, it says, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Turn to the person next to you, say, it's all about having it. It's all about having it. So the key here is to have it. If you want to activate your faith, it's about having it. When we go to Hebrews 1 verse 11, what does it say? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for. In Mark, Jesus teaches his disciples and he says, have faith in God. So what is he saying? He says, put your trust in the substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is that substance? That substance is Jesus Christ himself. It's Jesus Christ himself. Amen? So it's great that Jesus teaches us and he says, have faith in God. But what does that mean? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. What is that substance? That substance is Jesus Christ himself, who died on the cross, who died for your sicknesses, who died for diseases, who died for sins, who died for breakthrough. So he says, have faith in God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What is evidence? You might not see the evidence, but if I tell you there's evidence, this man died. Or this, if I tell you there's evidence, he took my glasses. Just take my glasses there. That represents my sickness. If I tell you there's evidence that he took my sickness and he's holding it, you might not see it, but because there's a trustworthy report, you can have faith knowing that he's got it. He's got it. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you might feel sickness in your body now, or you're trusting God for a breakthrough financially or in your career. Faith says, he's done it. Faith is that substance of what I'm hoping for. I want to be healed. I'm still feeling this, but he's healed it. That's what faith is. That's what it's the evidence. I cannot see it because I'm feeling the pain in my body. But faith is that substance that it's done. Just remain here quickly. I just need this to read quickly. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Amplified. Look at what the Amplified says. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. This has become the title deed. When you've got the title deed of a property, even if somebody else says it's my property, you say, bring me the title deed. I've got the title deed. This belongs to me. The confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. So hope is in the future, but faith is now. That's why it says now faith is. Because faith acts now, faith believes now, faith receives now. Amen. Being the proof of things we do not see. So this is the faith is the proof of what I don't yet see in my life. And the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's faith. Amen. So he says, when you pray, believe that you've received it and you'll have it. You'll have it. So number one, if you want to do a test whether you're in faith, if I've prayed and I said, Lord, thank you for healing, removing my sickness, and I believe Jesus, I have faith in Jesus that he has done it. If after my prayer, I continue to complain the way I used to complain, you're not in faith. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? If you believe this is the substance, the evidence, which you cannot see, that it is done, and you've come and you believe that you've received it, he who knew no sin became sin so that I can become the righteousness of God. When I believe that and I receive it, and I know that I have it, my confession will change. Amen. Can we go on with the faith part? Amen. So let me just see, how many of you have been claiming it, framing it, saying it, but you still don't have it? Okay, we're talking to the right people here. So Peter, who saw the substance, he saw Jesus, he walked with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He writes in 1 Peter 2 verse 24, he says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He says, this means I've been healed. He says, I've got this conviction. This is faith. This is faith. Amen. Turn to the person next to you. Say, faith is never the problem. Let me see, who of you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Who of you believe he died for all sins? Who of you believe he died for sicknesses? So turn to the person next to you, say, faith is never the problem. Because you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, even if I have faith as small as a mustard seed, he says, your faith can be so small that I cannot see it. If I have small faith in what he has done, the big job that Jesus has done, even if it's as small as a mustard seed, he says, you're going to move that mountain. Faith is never the problem. Do you know what is the problem? We don't believe it. We don't believe it. That's the real thing. And there's many things that affect our believing. 1 John 3 says one of the things that affect our believing is our heart condemns us. When you have to pray, just think quickly at work, all the Christians at work, when they say, you the Christian, pray for the food. You say, no, I'm going to pray. Let him pray. Why? Because your heart is condemning you. Why? Because the devil is saying, I know what you did this week. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? But you know what that verse says? It says, God is greater than your heart. What Jesus did on the cross to die for all your sins, even that condemnation and guilt, he died for it. So you look to the cross where the price was paid and not at yourself. Amen? So just stay here, please. Faith, Jesus, my good example. Amen? So the problem is, if you're going to pray, I need faith in my heart to pray. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I don't have faith in my heart, I cannot pray. This is why many people come and pray. They pray without faith in their hearts, and they pray the whole night, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Shaka. And they make a lot of noise, praying a lot of prayers, but there's no faith in their hearts. But if there was faith in your hearts, your prayer would change. Daniel had faith in his heart. He knew that Jesus had done it. So his prayer was very simple. 3 times a day, he just went on his knees and he said, thank you, Lord, that you've done it. Thank you that you protect me. Thank you that you provide for me. Thank you, Lord, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though I get cast into a lion's den, you'll shield me. He didn't call a special prayer warriors meeting. Get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, dudes, come over. We need to rebuke the devil and rebuke the king and rebuke the... No. As his custom, 3 times a day, went on his knees and he said, thank you, because thank you means I've received it. I have it already. So I'm just thanking you for the protection. I'm thanking you for the blessing. I'm thanking you that you are busy perfecting everything concerning me. So this is the challenge. Isaiah wrote about it. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, what does he say? He says, who has believed our report? He says, can you believe this report? That if you have faith in the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe this, your whole life can change. And it talks about Jesus being smitten, being chastised, Verse 5 says, and by his stripes we are healed. That's the same scripture that Peter quoted. So this is what it's all about. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, faith is something you have. But whether you believe it, that's up to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Please go sit, my brother. Give the Lord a hand for him. Amen. So why are mountains not moved? Sometimes, one of the reasons, sometimes why mountains are not moved is because you're praying the wrong prayer. Can I just say, when we read this first part, it says, Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Many times mountains are not removed because you're not speaking to the mountain. You're busy speaking to God about the mountain. Can I say that again? Many mountains are not moved because God has given us all authority here on earth. He says, when you speak to the mountain, it will move. Not talk to God about the mountain. Amen. So some challenges, you're going to have to speak to it. But before you speak to that mountain, first believe that you have faith in your heart. Because when you have faith in your heart and you know that Jesus has done it, then when you pray, asking, you can receive it and you can have it. So here's the challenge. It's not the faith, it's not the problem. It's the believing part that's the problem. Now we're going to get to the good part. Many of you are saying to me here, we grew up in the faith movement where they taught us, claim it, say it, frame it, settle it, and you'll have it. Can I have one amen? Amen. And we've been claiming it and framing it and saying it and having it, but everything is manifested except that. Am I talking to the right people here? Okay, I'm going to come back to verse 25. Let's just first go to another verse. Just go to John chapter 15, verse 7. Can I just say this? Hebrews 11 verse 6, you all know that. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it says, without faith, my brother, just come here quickly. Just, sorry. You're doing a bit of church aerobics here. Amen. So the Bible says, without faith, without Jesus, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because everything that we do, Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. If we're doing anything that's not in and through Jesus Christ, it does not bring glory to God. Amen? Our own righteousness is like filthy rags, but the righteousness of Jesus, oh, that's so beautiful. So without faith in God, and without faith in Jesus, what he's done on the cross, it's impossible to please God. But then he says, and he must believe that when he comes to him, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Many people have stopped believing that in seeking Jesus diligently, there's a reward. And they think in pursuing worldly things, that's Matthew 6 verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added. They think the add-ons, let's search that, let's look for that. And he says, without faith, Jesus, the faith, the substance, Christ. He says, without this, it's impossible to please God. But when I come to him, I must believe. As I'm putting him first, as I'm seeking his kingdom, as I diligently seek him by faith, looking at the invincible God of power and might, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Just stay here. I think I'm going to use you again. Matthew 15, verse 7. He says, if I abide in him and his word that became flesh and manifested among us and we could see its glory abides in me. I will ask whatever I desire, and God will give it to me. Why are many prayers not answered? The things that you desire that you are asking, why is it not manifesting? Because of abiding. God obeyed Isaiah's words because Isaiah obeyed God's words. That's the principle. I have to abide in God's love. I have to abide in Christ's love, and I have to let Christ's love abide in me. Christ's forgiveness to abide in me, and I abide in Christ's forgiveness. Christ's gentleness abiding in me, and I'm abiding in Christ's gentleness. Peter wrote and he said, his divine nature has become a part of my nature. This is the key. Amen? So it's about the abiding. Turn to the person next to you, say you have to abide in the Word of God. Turn to the person on the other side, abide in the Word of God. God and His Word is one. God and His Word is one. In 1 Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, it says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. It's talking to me, pure heart reaching in. Good conscience, soul, good conscience in my mind, my thinking, and sincere faith. Where does faith come from? From my heart. What is sincere faith? Sincere faith is when you're just honest. Sincere faith is when you put your trust in God. So he says, this is what it's all about. Amen? So let's go back to Mark 11. Turn to the person next to you and say, now you have to buckle up. So we always just taught on the first part. Say it, declare it, believe that you've received it, and you will have it. But the second part, now comes the abiding part. Look what he says. He says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. He says, when you start to pray and you want to ask God for things, let his forgiveness abide in you. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven also may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Can I say something? God clearly links faith to forgiveness. Turn to the person next to you, say, alert, alert. If you want strong faith, you have to practice strong forgiveness. If you want strong faith, you're going to have to practice strong forgiveness. Because Galatians 5 verse 6 says that faith works through love. Faith works through love. Amen. Thank you, Faith Jesus. You can go. God bless you. You did a great job. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Can you see why God cannot trust many people to move mountains? Because many of you are so upset with your enemies that you would drop those mountains on them. Don't raise your hand. Just double blink at me if that's you. Amen. Can you see why God cannot trust many people to move mountains? Because of a lack of love. Because you're not abiding in forgiveness. The next time that person upsets you, you'll say, excuse me, brother. Just want to bring to your attention. You don't have the grace to move mountains. And if you don't move from my parking space right now, I'm going to move a mountain into that parking space, and neither you or me or the Lord Jesus will ever see that car again. He says, when you want to move mountains and you're standing before God in His presence with His blood covering you, and you become aware that there's here something not right, go fix it. He's saying when you are reaching up, touching the heart of God, and God touches your heart and he says, yeah, before you reach out to move your faith, to change the things around you, first deal with this. A person that does not love cannot be trusted with this kind of power. If faith expresses itself through love, it means it works through love. Reach up, loving God. Reach in, loving yourself. And reach out, loving people. It's Father's Day today. Can I speak to fathers for 1 minute? Peter, who had revelation of Christ, the rock. You know what he said in 1 Peter 3 verse 7? He said, husbands, likewise dwell with them. That them is your precious wife. Amen. With understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean she's weaker than you. That just means she's the finer porcelain. You the coffee mug. And she's the fine porcelain teacup. The capacity of what you can hold is exactly the same. Amen. Yes, give the Lord a hand. Amen. At least the ladies clap for me on Father's Day. Amen. What you can be filled with, your capacity is the same. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Your relationship with God this way is influenced by what's happening this way. Your relationship with people around you, friends, family, your wife, your children, have an impact on your relationship with God far more than what you realize. Because how can you say you love God that you've not seen, but you're offended and miserable and nasty to the people here that you can see? Let me rephrase it to you. How can you come and demand love in a covenant with God when you cannot show love in a covenant you're on earth that God has placed you in? When you're offended with your wife, we have a beautiful little book, Relationship Under Repair. It works for wives, bosses, children, family, friends, and people that you don't even know that's going to offend you in the future. Go read the book. It will help you. Amen. This is very important. The first test, your first ministry, my first ministry is not here standing preaching to you. It's at home. If I can get it right at home, the Bible says I'll get it right here. That's why an elder must rule his house well. That doesn't mean my children glow in the dark. Amen. Can I just say that? Doesn't mean my children glow in the dark. It doesn't mean if somebody is an elder in their church, in this church, that we get it right the whole time. But we have a desire to work at it to get it right the whole time. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. We're going to continue reaching up. We're going to continue reaching in. We're going to continue reaching out. We're going to continue touching the heart of God. We're going to continue to allow God to touch our hearts. And we're going to continue to touch the heart of our community. We're going to continue loving God. We're going to love ourselves. And we're going to love people. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's Father's Day. I'm not going to keep you too long. Can I try and finish with two scriptures? By the grace of God. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Family, if you want your prayers to be answered, if you want your faith to be strong, you have to abide in the love of God. Unconditional love. I'm not even going to go to before God released Peter. He said to him, do you love me? He said, do you love me? He says, if you love me, go love my people. This is the qualification for ministry. Loving God and loving people. He asked Peter, if you love me, go love the people. Amen. Because we are born of love, it allows us to love all people. Because we are born of love, we can love all people. Can I have one amen? Amen. We are 27 cultures here together. And the thing that brings us together is the fact that we've been baptized into one spirit, into one body, to drink from one spirit. So we're drinking from the same Holy Spirit. There's not an Afrikaans Holy Spirit and an English Holy Spirit and a Zulu Holy Spirit and a Khoza Holy Spirit and a Nigeria Holy Spirit. There's the Spirit of God that fills our hearts. Amen. And we all worship Him in spirit and in truth. The thing that disgusts God more than anything is when you draw close to Him with your mouth, but your heart is far away from Him. It's the same when it comes to prayer. People don't have faith in their hearts, but they've got a lot of words to say. He said that about Pharisees. He says, you pray these long prayers, means nothing, because your heart is not connected with me. Your heart is not full of faith. Jesus said, when I'm coming back, I'm not looking to see who wrote the best songs and who's singing the most songs and who sings the longest. When I come back, I'm looking to see who worships me in spirit and in truth. And if it's not spirit, it's not truth, then it's nothing. Jesus even said, Paul in Romans, he said, if you want to be my child, you can confess with your mouth, Jesus, 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 as long as you want to. But if you don't believe with your heart, you're wasting your time. Because it's with your mouth that you confess unto salvation. But it's in your heart that you believe unto righteousness. And if you believe in your heart that God has made you righteous, your behavior will change. Because the righteousness of God, when you allow the Word of God, which is fire, which has purification power, healing power, deliverance power, to become an integral part of your heart, your life, by its very nature, it will start to change you. And you'll find yourself acting with God, walking with God, planning with God. But if you reject this word, go read what James says. He says, with meekness receive the word of God into your heart, which is able to save your souls. Many of you, your stinking thinking has not changed for decades because you've never allowed the word of God to come into your heart. And we have become clever Christians from here, but we're not pleasing God from here. So that's why I say, reaching up, when you touch the heart of God, expect God to touch your heart. And when God touches your heart, expect to move and do something. Because faith acts now, faith believes now, faith receives now. So now I'm going to close in conclusion. Have you ever been in a position where you felt like, God, you should do it? Why haven't you done it? I'm going to close with that and quickly help you just get through that. Amen. It's a story about the father who had a son who was demon possessed. Serious situation. My son is demon possessed. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy him. Comes to the Lord, and Jesus gives him these wonderful words. Jesus said to him, if you have faith, all things are possible. Did he say that? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, if you have faith, all things are possible. He says, if you believe. Because faith is something you have that cannot change. Mustard seed faith can change a situation. He says to him, if you can believe, do you believe this report? Do you believe that one man has died for your sins? Have died that your situation can change, has died that you can forgive, has died for you to have breakthrough, has died for you to live in victory. He says, can you believe that report? That the Son of God was smitten, stricken, chastised, that by His stripes, can you believe that? He says, if you believe that, all things are possible to him who believes. Look what he says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I just come here again, brother. Sorry, last time. Forgive me. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Franz, just come here. Just come here. Franz, come stand this side. Here I am I am trusting for change here in my child's life. I'm looking here to the substance. Jesus is speaking to me and says, if you believe, it's been done. The price has been paid. If you believe, whatever you're asking me, it's done. Now I come. This is all of us. We come and we say, I believe. I believe you can do it. BC, come here quickly. BC, who else? Three ladies here in the front. Come here. Come stand here. Give the Lord a hand. Stand here on this side. Stand here on this side. The Father is coming and He says, the substance is here. The price has been paid. I believe Jesus wants to do it for her. He wants to do it for her. He wants to do it for her. He wants to do it for her. I'm not sure if I believe He wants to do it for me. Because if Jesus knows what I've done in the past week, He would definitely not help me. But those good Christians, He's going to help them immediately. I believe He can do it, and He will do it for them. But when it comes to me, I'm not sure He wants to do it for me. Am I talking to the right people here? Because maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've not been praying the way that you've been praying. Not been reading your Bible the way that you should. Whatever is condemning your mind, amen. Maybe you're using language you shouldn't. I don't know what's the thing that condemns you. You've been naughty. You think Jesus doesn't want to do it for me. And this Father comes and He says, I believe you want to do that. But I'm not sure you want to do it for me. When He made that confession, what does the Bible say? God requires of us sincere faith. Sincere faith. That was sincere faith. Coming and saying, I believe you can do it. But I just don't believe that you want to do it for me. Help my unbelief. What was He doing? He was confessing His weakness. What does 1 John 1:9 says? When we confess our sins, our weaknesses, He's faithful and just to forgive it and to replace the unrighteousness with righteousness. Am I talking to the right people here? So even when you come and you say, Lord, I believe you can do it. I'm not sure you want to do it for me. Help me, Lord. Help my unbelief. Guess what? Turn to the person next to you and say, He's going to do it for you. Turn to the person on the other side and say, He's going to do it for you. So listen to me. We are made spiritual by the Word of God. And then it's required of us to act upon the Word of God. Amen? When you act upon the Word of God, the Word become a living thing in your life. A living thing. So even when you feel your situation, Lord, I believe you can do it. Help my unbelief. Acting and moving towards Jesus and saying, help my unbelief. Guess what He's going to do? He's going to help your unbelief and it's going to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. And that will give you confidence in that situation to know that you have received it. Amen. Faith sees the invisible. Faith believes the impossible, and faith receives the incredible. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.